is wild. Oh, the ferocious lion on the other end of this line. Here is Jeff McNamara. Hello, Jeffrey.
I don't like you using my name, you know? I'm so used to you calling me Mac.
Have I ever called you Mac? I don't think I ever have.
You call me Mac all the time. But you know what's funny is sometimes, especially doing some of these vaults, I'll go back and listen to pieces of our episodes, and you used to call me Jeffrey all the time.
Full Jeffrey with a G.
Yeah, like you were my fucking mother.
This week's Mac vs. Wild. Jeff in one end and on the other end. And when I say end, I mean they are in an air duct.
I feel degraded with you calling me Jeff.
Mac vs. Wild. G off McNamara on one side. And on the other side of this air duct, once again, this is not just a big open field. We're going vent diehard style. Ooh. Jeff on one end. The other, three capuchin monkeys.
Three capuchin monkeys.
Now, these monkeys, I'll tell you right now, they go from 13 to 18 inches, about 8-ish pounds. You get a knife, and each monkey gets two knives. But they have to hold one of the knives with their tail. Also, you don't get monkey knockout gas.
There, you have made this way too complicated. The best part of this is when it's not complicated. You have made this way too complicated.
Well, I picked a very soft animal.
So number
you can
one,
easily punch in the face.
I'm not
kill.
Going in the vent. Just not going in the vent. I'm gonna wait outside of the vent and funnel the monkeys out. I'm funneling the monkeys
what
out.
What if we lure you in there with a piece of candy?
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh.
And then out of nowhere, you're an event, fucking Winnie the Pooh style.
I can't win an event. I can't move an event. They'll just be stabbing me left and right. I'll be dead in like 30 seconds.
Do you think a capuchin monkey would know how to stab you, though, or know where to stab you? Where's the best place to stab somebody?
The monkey might cut themselves, and then I might have a win without even doing anything.
I feel like what you should do is if you kill one of the capuchin monkeys and make a hat out of it, you taunt the other ones.
You've missed the boat entirely. If you kill one, you now have a second weapon. You're spinning that motherfucker by its tail.
Like a nunchuck.
Yeah, like a sock filled with soap. That's my capuchin monkey weapon.
Fill a sock up.
And so now I've got a knife
quarters
and a capuchin
and beat
monkey
you with it.
Against two capuchin monkeys.
So now you have a knife and a capuchin monkey.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm
now
taking out two capuchin
okay,
monkeys.
Okay, so that is now
so if
the
I can
new
get
thing.
One, I can definitely get three.
Okay, so it is you with a nunchuck capuchin monkey and a knife versus two capuchin monkeys with four knives, but they're only allowed to use one hand.
Yeah, I think I win that probably 9 times out of 10.
Mac vs. Wild!
One goo, three, yeah!
Mac and goo!
Jaws 3!
Mac and goo!
King of Queens!
Mac and goo!
Entertainment. Thank you, Norris the Terrible. I'm Goo.
And I'm Mac.
And we're the Mac and Goo program. We bring you friendship.
And today we bring you badassery.
Yeah, we're dying hard.
By another Mac. Couple
of
Macs
right.
here today.
Couple of Macs. No Jeffs. The Jeffs are gone. It's all Macs here today. Mac, what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about none other than the 1988 vault winner, Die Hard.
So before Die Hard. You get into Die Hard, and before we quickly say what movies Die Hard beat, I think we can both agree, is Die Hard the greatest movie title of all time?
It's pretty good. It's pretty fucking intriguing.
Like, I would say Back to the Future is really fucking intriguing too. But I think that Die Hard, and maybe it's just like a bunch of movies from the 80s. They were so much better at naming movies in the 80s.
Well, I think Star Wars
Weird
is pretty
Science.
Compelling, too. Yeah,
Weird
Science
is
a good one.
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club's good.
Yeah. Some other movies from 88, too. Mac, what movies did Die Hard beat?
So Die Hard, first of all, came out on July 12th, 1988. So that was the summer for you guys.
Christmas in July, baby. Christmas in July.
not the holiday season. We did the 88 Vault back in February of 2018. It is episode 091, our 91st episode. The final four that we nominated were Die Hard, who we knew was going to win.
Yep.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit came in at second.
Genre defining.
16.8%.
Visually brilliant.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
I would have loved to have reviewed that as well.
It was my pick for best movie of the year. Die Hard, by the way, got 56.5%. Bloodbath. So it trounced these ones. Coming to America got 15.3%.
I'm a little cold on that movie.
Big got 11.5%.
I love Big. And then there were like three other movies that were really close to being in our final four.
Including Mac and Me, which released in 1988.
Well, that was my number one. But like Beetlejuice was also 1988.
So you're award winners from 88 at the 61st Academy Awards. Best Picture went to Rain Man, who I think in the episode, I made the claim that Die Hard might be my 6th, 7th, or 8th favorite movie of the year. Mm-hmm. I think now, a couple years later, now that especially after I just rewatched it, it might be 4th or 5th for me.
Okay.
So it is close to the top 4 nominations. Yeah. Rain Man would be ahead of it for me, though.
Rain Man's great.
Best Director went to Barry Levinson for Rain Man. Best Actor went to Dustin Hoffman as Raymond Babbitt in Rain Man. Best Actress, Jodie Foster as Sarah Tobias in The Accused. Best Supporting Actor and Actress, Kevin Kline as Otto West in A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah.
And Gina Davis as Muriel Tourist in The Accidental Tourist.
So, 88, I think that, once again, big market tease. We tease this Rain Man every single week. Rain Man also
got Best Original Screenplay.
Don't you dare cut me off. Can I finish?
Do you want me to talk about other honorable movies?
Before you do that, I'm going to quickly say that 88, when we eventually do our Vault of Vaults, 88 might be in the final four. 88 is stacked.
Yeah, Coming to America really hurts it, I feel like.
I don't love it.
I just watched it like 3 days ago.
There's a huge stretch of the movie, like an hour to an hour and a half, where it's not funny at all. And I one would argue, in a comedy, you want some chuckles.
I think the top four would look a lot better with Beetlejuice in it.
I think the issue with Beetlejuice is it's, what, hour 45 minutes?
And yeah, it's pretty short.
There's 11 minutes of Beetlejuice?
So maybe Rain Man, I don't know. The honorables from that year... Some of what we talked about in the episode, Beetlejuice, Rain Man, The Land Before Time, another great movie.
Do you know where Scrooged. The Great Valley is?
Scrooge. It's good stuff. Great flick.
Yep.
The Naked Gun, iconic movie. Mm-hmm. A Fish Called Wanda is a lot of people's favorite movie. Child's Play came out in 88. Another great movie.
Yeah.
Cinema Paradiso, an Italian film. Great flick. It's in Italian, so if you can't speak it,
what does it mean in Italian? One.
The Paradise Cinema.
Oh,
pretty straightforward. Also in 88, Goo, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, right. Mm. So, Mac, are you ready to open up the vaults?
Guess so.
Time to open up the Mac and Goofy vault right now. Time to take something out of the Mac and Goofy.
And this is not an empty threat this time. That's the last time you'll hear the full song.
The people have no faith in you anymore. You've lost trust.
Well, that's because, Mac, I have no time to myself anymore.
Or all of the time to yourself. You just have a.
I don't know what to do with myself.
With you.
I'm going to tell you right now, I've been doing a lot of Pelotoning lately, and my butt is killing me.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's horrible. Brutal. Yeah.
You're trying to figure out, after like your first couple rides, you're trying to figure out, okay, is there pants that I can wear?
Is there something I can put on there? This thing? All the seats are the same.
It's not good.
And then the instructor is like, you know, first off, doing this thing, like. But then also. They keep on saying, all right, you want to bounce on the seat now. Are you kidding me?
No, thank you.
I will either sit or I will stand. I will not bounce.
I will not keep taking it in the gooch. Die Hard is a rated R action thriller with a runtime of 132 minutes.
Yeah.
The Rotten Tomatoes score, 93% from the critics, 94% from the audience. Mm-hmm. It has a 72 on Metacritic. Those are all great scores. Yeah. I see all of them 100%. Metacritic 70s for a straight out action movie is actually really, really good.
Would you call this an action comedy? Because there's definitely levity to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Especially, you know, when the bad guy is dying at the end and they say, I hope that isn't a hostage. I hope that isn't a hostage. Like, that's just funny stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Just classic hostage hijinks.
That's some funny stuff that they should have had in Coming to America.
This movie was written by Jeb Stuart and Stephen E. D'Souza. Based on Roderick Thorpe's novel. Have you read the book? No one has.
The book is better.
This was directed.
The book is better.
The book is better. This is directed by John McTiernan, who the very year before did Predator. So he was obviously riding a
And I don't know why, but if you watch any interview with him, he seems like a real prick. Like, he seems very full of himself.
I can see that. He really hasn't made any good movies since the late 80s. He did do the Hunt for Red October, which was early 90s, I think.
Yeah.
He did Last Action Hero, which sucked, but everyone likes. And he did the Thomas Crown Affair, which was fine.
A fun fact about this movie, and you'll get to who's starring in the movie in a second, Bruce Willis. But when they originally wanted to do it, they were like, can we get Sly Stallone? Can we get this guy? Can we get this guy? And they're like, no, but we can get this guy from TV. And then all of those actors are referenced in the movie.
For sure.
That's an old IMDb trivia.
There's a, what's the name of the show on Netflix? The Movies That Made Us. They did one on Die Hard. It's a great episode.
Yeah, it's very good.
A synopsis of this movie, Goo. An NYPD officer tries to save his wife and several others taken hostage by German terrorists during a Christmas party at the Nakatomi Plaza in Los Angeles. Number one issue with that is like half of them are German. They all can speak German, but they're not all German. So that's not entirely accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, who cares about the Christmas party part? Huh?
I do. Because it sets the tone that it's Christmas.
No, there's no tone. He sets the tone that it's
he literally says Merry Christmas as his final line. It's a Christmas movie. That's what we're arguing, right? That's the argument, right? That's what next 45 minutes is about, right?
Bruce Willis as John McClane.
Which, Bonnie may I just point out, sorry, before you, I am flabbergasted that even in the late 80s, people did not respect a movie or wouldn't respect a movie because they deemed the main actor a TV actor.
Yeah, that is weird.
Which is, like, nowadays, I think TV gets more praise than movies do.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I hate TV.
Well, I'm saying like Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, any of the HBO shows.
Yeah, but for every one of those, there's like 10 movies.
You get more praise for being in like Chernobyl than you do.
I don't agree.
Well, looks like we're going to have to end the podcast.
Bonnie Bedelia stars as his wife / on the outs wife, Holly Gennaro McClane.
Thrumpy is what I describe her as.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Reginald Vell Johnson as Sergeant Al Powell.
Which
Paul Gleason
he
as Dwayne T. Robinson.
Great in this.
Let me finish.
Well, if you're going to say actors that I like, I'm going to say they're great. All right? And Reginald Velveeta Jones was fucking great in this movie.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Devereaux White as Argyle. Also phenomenal. Hart Bochner as Ellis. James Shigeta as Takagi.
Mm-hmm.
Takagi. Alan Rickman as Hans Gruber. And, of course, Alexander Godunov as Carl.
So Carl is a real mixed bag to me, and we'll get to that in a second.
He's just a blonde asshole.
I know, but the hand-to-hand combat is so out of place. It does
not,
belong in this movie.
It's not great.
Ages terribly, and it is laugh-out-loud stupid.
His very first fight scene with the balding blonde asshole where he kills him on the steps, pretty fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great.
Just fucking
also,
shoot him.
Also, the asshole news reporter is William Atherton.
Yeah, he's a real dickhead, but, you know... He serves a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Goo, this is, by all accounts, a genre-defining action flick.
Yeah.
Because it is, they do a great job making a very personal story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a father trying to get back in with his family, basically.
Yeah.
And in order to get back in with his family, he's got to kill some terrorists.
And they do a great job of... He's not too muscular. He is quite vascular, but
he is
really more of the everyman. He likes hot chicks.
Right.
He has problems
Which they really sell.
He has difficulties speaking with his family. You know, he's not very vocal, and he doesn't convey his emotions very well. He's a very short-sentenced man. You think he's kind of a dickhead at the beginning.
Yeah.
By the end,
well, he is.
You know? Once he spills his heart to Carl, not the European Carl, but Carl Winslow, you're like, you know what? This guy gets it.
Yeah, he's really transformed.
He has.
And I'll tell you, this movie
is... He's bleeding
is,
out, and he's transformed.
For the first hour, the only character you're really bought into is McClane. You meet his wife. You meet the dickhead Ellis. You kind of want that guy to die.
Yeah.
But you don't
Fingers
really...
Fingers crossed, and you get it.
You don't dive too far into Hans Gruber yet.
Yeah.
It's only after those two connect is where it's a huge Hans Gruber story. But that first hour, you're like, oh, all right, this is kind of lighthearted. You know, yeah, terrorists are in the building, but John McClane's still making funny. He's like, it's pretty good. I really like the direction they started.
Also, speaking of terrorists being in the building, you're not waiting a half an hour. You're not waiting 45 minutes. You're not waiting an hour for the terrorists. They're in there at the 18-minute mark.
Yeah, they do a really nice job. Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Well, let's Which, get by the to way, that stuff in a
I
second.
I have a note here that greatest movie title of all time. I should have said this earlier. Freddy Got Fingered.
Yes. That's, yeah, it leaves nothing to the imagination.
It doesn't. I mean, Rip really Torn didn't actually finger him, but, you know, that's what he said in the movie.
He just spoiled the whole movie.
Also, this movie is available on HBO Max. For some reason, it's not available on Disney Plus. It is a Disney movie. Take it out of the goddamn vault. If you're going to buy 20th Century Fox, Disney, put their good movies on the Plus.
Yeah. Yep.
And then just make it so that a kid can't choose it. It's not that hard. Netflix does it.
The Die Hard movie, as I remembered it, I hadn't seen it in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It felt more formulaic in my mind. But actually, now after rewatching it, I'm like, no, they actually... They do a number of things differently than most other action films. I don't know. Maybe that's just because the stupid Christmas movie fucking discussion we had.
I know,
for
but
years
this movie
threw me
also
off.
Is such a trendsetter in the fact that for maybe a decade after this, any movie that people try to create buzz over, they'd always say, "Well, it's Die Hard on a boat. It's Die Hard in an arcade. It's Die Hard at the beach."
What most of those miss, and why this movie is an all-time great, is because Hans Gruber's not an idiot.
Hans
the
Gruber's
villain's
the best.
Just as smart
and
as anyone in this movie.
I
maybe
can't
the smartest.
Think of any other action movie that has a scene where John McClane and Hans Gruber are together for like 5 minutes, and it is so incredibly tense, and it's so
it's
good. It's a cat and mouse game. It's them playing chess, and you're like, wait, has he made a misstep? Has he kind of messed up here? Has Han outsmarted him? And then you're like, oh, shit, no, he didn't. Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, he
that's
does.
Fucking great.
And then he uses the name that was on the board, and it rings a bell, and he's like, ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it
is.
Good.
It's a tit for tat, a chess match.
It's so
and
good.
And that's why I think Die Hard, ultimately, of all action movies, stands up as maybe the greatest one.
It's
now,
so
I don't
good.
Know if I would have it number one, but it's definitely in the discussion.
It's awesome.
Me. And I am a known, you know, not a fan of action movies because they usually lack substance.
Yeah.
And then the substance in this still isn't that great. We'll get to that. But the little family tie-in here, and because of how personable John McClane is, I think makes this movie great.
Now, Max, do you want to hear why I will not be giving this movie 40 hot dogs?
Yeah, sure.
And this sounds like a really snobby, stupid, you might call me an idiot, you might stop listening to the podcast, but I thought the score to this movie was terrible. The score to this movie took me out of so many scenes. How are you giving me this big operatic sound for a movie like this? This movie didn't need that. This movie sounded like Dick Tracy. Like the music made me, I'm like, am I watching Dick Tracy right now? Like
wow.
Go back and you listen know? Right now. The score, like it didn't ruin the movie, obviously, but it didn't belong.
Well, even some of the music choices at the beginning, like when he gets in the limo with Argyle and Argyle's playing that fucking, is it a Run DMC song?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
It dominates the scene, whereas like you wish it was just like a little more in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's to your point. Whoever's in charge
and, like,
of fucking music just
I would have just preferred. I know that you don't want it to be a Christmas movie, but if you just had like Nutcracker music or something stupid like that, I think you could have gotten away with, I don't know, making it a little bit better.
I think that's it didn't stick out to me as something
I feel like if you watch it,
hated.
If you watch it now that I said that, because
no, I know what you're
earworm.
Talking about. I noticed
I'm an earworm, and I'm going to ruin the movie for everybody.
But for me, like I'm already sort of in the headspace you got to. Action movies just put me there automatically. Like I wasn't expecting a perfect score here. But to me, Die Hard is so good because it is the ultimate chess match. You know, it's a survival game for an everyman. And I think that's why Die Hard gets remembered as an all-time great.
Does John McClane get more ripped throughout the movie? Or is he just sweatier?
Still doing push-ups after he kills everyone?
Like, so at the beginning, he has the wife beater on, and he looks kind of doughy.
He just doesn't look cut.
He doesn't look, obviously, he doesn't look like Sly Stallone. He doesn't look like Arnie. He doesn't look like Carl Weathers. But by the middle of the movie, he looks a bit more cut up. And then by the end, when he's topless, you're like, shit.
He's just super dehydrated by the end.
That's what it is. He lost a lot of blood. Do you have any more notes before we get to the Seven Deadly Sins of Cinema?
Nah, let's hop into it.
Oh, I was supposed to add another one on there, and I forgot what it was.
Well, I'm glad you forgot. It was probably stupid.
It was stupid, I'll tell you that much. It was really fucking stupid. Max, Satisfactor, and yeah, this is very satisfying.
Yeah, there's like several satisfying moments in this movie. Probably two or three that are really, really good.
And I would say
in the third act,
literally where every character ends up is where you want them to end up.
It's
either
true.
Dead or making out with their wife in the car or shooting the German guy. Good for Carl.
Not, I was going to say
Carl's dead, but good for Carl Winslow.
Al.
That's
his character's name. Sergeant Al Powell.
And his real name is Velveeta Johnson, right?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, I was going to say, especially at the end, they didn't need to have Reginald Vell Johnson get his redemption, but he does. And I think that's a really nice cherry on top of the whole movie.
I've been watching so much Family Matters lately because it's on from 5 a.m. until 6:30, and that's just my window right there. And I feel so bad for Reginald Velveeta Johnson because he went from, like, he's really good in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's really likable. He's an awesome sidekick type of character. And then he had 9 years of Urkel.
Yeah, but that's what paid the bills.
I know, but the show didn't even start out as a show for Urkel. It was supposed to be like a mid-America black family.
Him and the wife were supposed to be the main characters.
And he's a, you know, he's a working
class
cop.
What show did the wife come from again?
I forget. Was it Room 222?
No.
No?
It wasn't.
It wasn't Mr. Dern's room. Mac, fun factor, and this was plenty fun. The cat and mouse game was just awesome.
Willis's attitude as John McClane just sort of breeds fun in every scene. And so every scene he's in, it's fun. It's a fun scene. It even like the scene with Ellis when he goes in to talk to Hans Gruber, I'm like smirking the whole time because Ellis thinks he's like, he's doing
like,
something.
Yeah,
cool,
we've been
like,
friends for years.
He's gonna get got.
We've been friends for years. Definitely. No, we haven't. I don't know this guy. I just met him. Shut up. Pow! Right in the face.
Pow in the kiss.
Barometer. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, dude, for 2 hours and 12 minutes, 132 minutes, that's pretty long, especially for an action movie.
Yeah.
There's really no ticking of the barometer here. It's paced really, really well.
Mm-hmm. It's above the Aquator. It's better than Aquaman. Maybe. Pants Tent City, and there are tons of Pants Tents in this movie. Just a couple of examples. The hose on the roof smashing through the window. That is awesome. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't mind. The hose on the roof one doesn't really get me.
Well, that's because you do it every day. I get it. You use hoses.
No.
Okay, all right.
Just
and then
seems
also,
super unrealistic.
Once again, the scene with Hans and with John is just an all-timer.
There's a couple one-liners in there that I didn't even write them down, I don't think. I might have as I go through the notes, but there are a couple one-liners that characters say that fucking kill me. They almost jump the shark, but it walks that line really well, and it makes it a fun movie, a fun action movie.
Yep. Halloween, has your interest in this movie gone down over time? And nah, I think it's actually gotten up.
No, I think it holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
I think it holds up pretty well. It's obviously one of those movies that's completely ruined by cell phones. But that fact aside, I think they do a good job explaining away certain things so that you can't really nitpick a ton here.
Well, the weather outside is hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. For those of you who talked to the Mac and Goo party, we rate everything on a 40 hot dog rating system. Hey, Mac, what do you got?
So I think once you like buy into this movie, and it's pretty fucking quick, I do think at the beginning there are questions. They're like, why are they coming into this building? What are they doing? What are their motivations? What's going on? There is a little bit of like confusion in the first act, but once you get into it, you're like, oh, all right, I'm in. The device of McClane having the radio the whole time and them talking back and forth, not knowing who each other are, and then Al Powell having the police radio and them all sort of connected is just awesome.
I
think that's what totally makes the movie. Of course, the characters, but within the plot, what makes the movie is those radio interactions, and they're great. And you're kind of using the radio actions as Kai Fob. Like it's not, I want you to think this, but this is what's really happening sort of stuff.
Bro, do you think if this movie was made in 2003 that it have Nextels?
Yeah. The beep beep.
Yeah.
So to me, again, I do love survival movies, and that's what John McClane does here. He survives. He survives in this movie against all odds, really. Like, he should have been dead. There's a lot of missed bullets in this
movie. It's 1 versus 12.
I think is an issue, too.
Yeah.
Ultimate chess match. I think most of what you could nitpick is sort of explained away to the best of their abilities. So I think I have it at 37 hot dogs.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Mac, I've already said all the stuff that I've loved about the movie, the great action, I love where John begins and then where he ends. They actually allow him to develop his character throughout the movie. It's something that the sequels did a very poor job of.
I have seen bits and pieces of the Justin Long one.
That's Hans Gruber is awesome. All-time villain. And Alan Rickman is so good at it. Reggie Valvita is awesome in this movie. And once again, I feel bad for, obviously, he made a ton of money on Family Matters, but it's not the show that he signed up for. And just one of the greatest cat and mouse games of all time. The bad in the movie is, I would say that some of the cop stuff was kind of dumb. Like, they kind of made him look like a calamity.
Yeah, but to a certain degree, where technology was then, it's kind of what cops did. It's mildly accurate to a certain degree.
The fist fight between Carl and John, I thought, was incredibly out of place. And it was almost to the point of, it's so bad, it's good, but it's took you away from the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just fucking shoot him. First off, you had the gun in his face, and this is after you said earlier, or someone who looks just like you said earlier, shoot every time. And then they have a fucking fist fight.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Bizarre.
So stupid. And then once again,
the only thing I'll say is, at that point, Carl was so mad because he killed all his friends that he wanted to strangle him, you know?
Shoot him in the face. Death is death. And finally, and this is what is really holding it back from being 40. I could excuse the other two. Who really cares about that? Those are nitpicky things.
Well, in an action movie, I think the hand-to-hand stuff should count for quite a bit.
The score in this movie is terrible. Hmm. And I will stand by that.
I'll give you that.
I have it at 39.
Whoa.
Like, I think 39. I think it's close to being perfect.
I think, I'm not... 39's super high.
It's super high.
39 is really, really high. In any given year, 39 might be the best movie of the year.
Yeah, I think you can plop Die Hard in almost any year, and it might win the Goobie Vault.
Oh, that, yeah. People love Die Hard, but to me, it's
people
more...
People are sheep.
No, to me, it's more like, there's no great understanding in this movie. Even at the end, where the characters are, like, nothing has happened. The movie took place over, 2 hours.
And that's what's
so good
about it. So we
don't
really
get to go see
it's
John
so
McClane thrive.
Well constructed. It's funny. There's action. There's likable characters. And every character, when you're watching the movie and you're like, oh, I want that guy to die. Guess what? In 10 minutes, he's fucking dead. Oh, I want them to end up together.
I agree with all that.
And they end up together.
But to make it an all-time great, a 39-40 dogger,
you want a twist.
I think it's going to have more substance to it.
You want
it just doesn't have that.
I know what happened. You wanted Bruce Willis to be dead the whole time. That's what it was.
No. I wanted his wife to die. She was annoying.
But then
mostly.
She punched the reporter in the face because he used their kids.
Yeah. That guy stunk.
Yeah.
Get to that. I have
a
note about him.
Obviously, they needed that stupid clip on the news so that Hans Gruber knew that she was the wife, whatever it is. But the entire time, I'm just like,
that's terrible.
Who is this guy and why do you keep cutting to him?
Again, they do all that strictly for that one shot.
For that
which
one
is
shot.
I hate that in this movie.
Yeah.
That's a big reason why I have it probably not
you ever,
where you have it, I guess.
You ever walk in the forest and you find some breadcrumbs and you just keep picking them up and then a witch eats you? That's
like
what
he
I'm
took
talking
note
about.
Of her fucking office pictures. Get the fuck out of here.
Why would she All have right. a photo of her estranged husband in her office? Why didn't
What's
she get rid of that?
It's a family photo.
Well, then put a Photoshop of you over him.
Do the Michael Scott put his face over him, or someone else's face over his face?
Hot. Mac, do you have any notes?
Yeah. All right. So the movie kicks off with the airplane landing at LAX, and the guy tells, this might be my favorite line from the whole movie.
Yeah.
The guy tells McClane, fist with your toes. Fist with your toes. He's like screaming at him, fist with your toes, which he actually does later on.
I liked it when he was walking through the airport and that blonde walked by him and he's like, ooh la la. And
California.
He put his sunglasses on the tip of his nose and he's like, yowie mowie.
His jaw dropped all the way to the floor. It was impressive use
and
of CGI.
Smoke came out of his ears.
Oh, man.
Yes, John McClane was played by a cartoon wolf in this movie.
But
as an old 1940s zoot suit.
If you realize that one comment, they set up the whole movie of McClane being shoeless. The only reason why he's shoeless and sockless in this movie is because that guy from the beginning on the airplane, fist with your toes. He's
he
doing
would
this
be
with his toes.
A
he's
great
like,
1910s
right.
baseball player.
The other thing I really like about this movie is the swears are like perfectly placed.
Oh, they're very good.
It's not forced, you know? Mm-hmm. They're just like, it's natural.
Yeah.
And then he gets up off the plane. You're like, okay, he's got a cop. He's got a gun. You know, he's like, I've been doing this for 11 years. But I obviously wasn't able to fly in 1988 because I wasn't born. Were cops just allowed to bring guns on planes? Was that a thing?
I think everything changed the year that we were born, the year of our lords.
1989?
Yeah, that's when they were like, guys, let's start taking things seriously.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I guess that was a thing. Cops could carry guns on planes. The flight attendant, they eye fuck. They do that. And then he sees the girl in the terminal. And you're like, is this a porn? What kind of movie am I watching?
And then when he walked up to the chauffeur, he said, Mr. McLean, you have a massive erection right now.
It's the pants. It's the pants.
It's the pleats. It's the pleats.
You find out it's Christmas Eve, and they do a really nice job with Argyle in this discussion.
Yeah.
Basically giving everything you need for the movie's setup. And that takes, what, 12 minutes from, you know, beginning of the movie until McLean's at the party, which is a really, really simple setup. And I think that's why this movie works so well. It doesn't get too complicated. You find out he's got two kids. The marriage isn't going great. I also really like that he sits in the front seat of the limo.
Oh, that was really good, too. I've never ridden in one before. And he hops in the front. So do you think it's not a Christmas movie because there's no snow?
That might be it. That might be it right there. Because that's your qualification for a Christmas
movie. Snow.
Snow. And
this doesn't
have it.
I never took into account, what if they're in a warm weather climate?
That's a big loophole.
That's a huge loophole.
Your methodology there.
I know. I was planning this big Christmas movie set in Hawaii, and now people aren't going to know.
You need one of those weather-making machines from that Disney Channel movie.
That's a good point. I'm going to have an evil villain who has a weather-making machine in Hawaii.
Santa had a weather-making machine, mistakenly got left with the kids.
Was it Shia LaBeouf?
No. What? We'll talk about that movie next week.
Was it Xena Warrior Girl? Xena of the future?
One of the few.
Was it one of the cheetah girls?
It could have been. Those cheetah girls were everywhere. One of the few things I don't like about the movie is they do sort of lean into McLean being an East Coast guy a little too hard at times.
Yeah.
Like classic West Coast.
If I have to hear one more time that fucking police chief being like, he's from New York, he's not one of mine.
Right. Right.
Do you guys play by different rules?
Right. Well, yeah, they do.
In New York, they can kill whoever they want. Here in L.A., we don't do such things.
Once we get past that, and once we get to McLean meeting Ellis in his office after he just finishes a line and he's wiping his nose, I'm like, I love classic douchebag Ellis.
Yep.
Of course, this guy loves Rolexes. This is a great character. Fucking unbelievable character. Because from the minute you meet him, he's playing grab ass with McLean's wife, and then you see him there, and you're like, I want this guy dead immediately. I want to see this guy die.
And that movie pays off.
Yeah. And like Goose said, what did you say? At the 18-minute mark is when they storm the building.
18 minutes. I literally paused the security guard
right in the head.
Literally, as he's being shot in the head, 18 minutes. Perfect.
I also really like when they make their way up to the party. They're searching rooms and stuff, and they open one room, and one girl's got her top off, tits out. And that's what helps McLean escape. It's because the guys were like, actually, let me redouble check that room, and he's gone.
It was the 80s. There was a rule that you had to have tits in the movie.
It's at this point, though, where you start kind of questioning the motivation. Like, why are they doing what they do? And you get those breadcrumbs over the rest of the movie. When we get to the end, I'll sort of sum up what their plan was, and I'll ask you if it's feasible at all to you. I do like... And this is where it really kicks off the McLean hijinks. He kills the one guy in the stairwell. Terrible fight. But then he sends him down the elevator, and it says, now I have a machine gun too. Ho, ho, ho.
Christmas.
Great. It's great.
Santa says.
He tries to phone on like a private radio line to the police.
And they're like, stop pranking us.
The lady's giving him shit. And he goes, no fucking shit, lady. Does it sound like I'm ordering a fucking pizza? Something like that. Killed me. Great line. Yeah. Reginald crushing Twinkies at the mini mart is awesome. Who doesn't love a good
Twinkie?
Those
are for his pregnant wife. How dare you?
And then once McLean gets up into the ducts, the shot of him with the lighter, iconic. Yeah. Iconic shot.
Easily, yeah.
Great shot. Hans and McLean finally make contact with each other via radio about an hour in. And so the next hour of the movie is the cat and mouse game.
Who do you
think
wins in a fight in an air duct, John McClane or a xenomorph?
Probably the xenomorph. I won't give McClane much chance.
I'm going to go with the xenomorph,
too. Yeah, I'll go xenomorph there.
But, like, what if John McClane has a hose?
I was going to say, what if it's three xenomorphs and each one of them gets a knife, but they can only...
use it with their tail.
One of them with their tail, yeah.
And then when they go to kill them, they throw the knife on the floor and they just use their fucking claws. And three mouths.
And then later in the movie, you get Gruber trying to outsmart McClane. And all of a sudden, McClane with a gun to his head to Gruber, and you're like, ah, jig is up. Gruber's fucked. And I think by far the best scene of the whole movie, MacGruber turns on his like American California businessman accent. Did I say MacGruber?
You said MacGruber. You fucking killed me. You got me. You got me, man.
He turns on his like American accent and he tricks McClane. And you're like, fuck, damn it. He's smart. Shit. And so they fucking share a cigarette. And then McClane's sort of starting to think like, well, why was this guy really up here on the 32nd floor or whatever? And he drops the name that was like in the lobby or whatever that McClane remembers. And he's like, aha, here's a gun with no bullets, motherfucker.
Ellis is a dipshit. He's dead.
Yeah. So
Yippee-ki-yay, John Wayne stuff.
I really,
cowboy,
really,
great.
I really liked the music. Now, this goes against your score play. The music that they play when the vault opens. And all the FBI, FBI is like,
but that's
they're probably going to be in there sweating. Meanwhile, the bad guys are like, yes.
But that also, that's not really the score. That's more of like, hey, let's have some fun with this.
Tied into that, though.
It's pretty cheeky, if you ask me.
Cheeky monkey.
Yeah, cheeky monkey.
First of all, someone that has a vault with seven fucking protections, like, how? What are you doing? Why did you come up with seven? Why was it two enough? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Number two. Do you think that his plan, faking terrorism just to steal money, was a good plan?
Well, he knew the terrorist handbook, so he's kind of playing into his strength. Maybe he was a terrorist in the past, and he's like, look, this is what
I know. He was associated with that niche.
We're going to play with this.
That organization.
So, yeah, I get it.
But my point is, if you steal the money, which they did, were they ever going to get away with it? I don't think they were ever going to get away with it. So I think the plan from the beginning was flawed.
I think he executed quite well.
I don't know. I don't know how they were going to be able to drive out of this fucking building surrounded by police in a LA fire department van and people weren't going to ask questions.
Like,
how was that going to work?
Say if I was called to fight a fire, would I use a hose? No, I would use a microphone because that's what I know how to use.
I don't know. But and then towards the end, too, you get the newscaster goes to the house. He puts the daughter on TV. That scene, getting Gruber to figure out who McClane's wife is, I didn't like that. So I don't like the plan.
You could just use his eyes. There's a fucking picture of him in the office.
I don't like the plan. I get that he's playing the police,
yeah,
which that part works. I like that part that he's using their own handbook against him. The problem is, I don't think there was an end game for him. I don't think he's ever getting away with the money. So I think that's kind of fucking stupid. The newscaster, though, I think this is a running list, and I haven't been doing a good job of keeping the list. But my, like, corporal up-em motherfucker list.
Yeah, yeah.
This newscaster's on it. This guy stinks.
Fuck
this guy.
He stinks. Yeah, he's horrible.
Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Argyle saves the day. He rams in the limo into the LA
and then he
fire department
him.
Van.
He's like, yeah.
That's not a knockout punch. You and I have been punched in the face before repeatedly.
Mm.
I don't think that punch is knocking either of us out.
I would consider it like a butterfly kiss.
Yeah, it was like a pillow punch. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. But then you get the ending of the movie. You get John and Al finally meeting, which is so good. And then finally, Carl pops back up.
Which,
zombie
again,
Carl.
The dude was fucking hung.
Yeah, what the fuck was
he
that?
He was hanged.
It doesn't make any sense. It's almost like on the day they were shooting, they were like, dude, Al should get some redemption here. How are we going to do it?
And
Carl,
like,
just stand up.
They're like, oh, do we have any more terrorists left? And they're like, well, John didn't shoot this one. But didn't he choke on a chain? Well, yeah, but we didn't shoot him, so let's just use this guy.
And then Al gets his redemption. Fires his whole chamber of bullets into Carl. Carl did.
Where he shot Carl was like shoulders and legs.
Well, yeah, but I would think six shots was going to put someone down.
It would have been great, though, if he shot him just like right in the eyeballs.
I do like, though, that instantly after, Argyle busts out with the limo. And Al puts his gun back up. And John's like, no.
He's cool.
You've had enough.
Yeah. He's well, I think
tired,
the only thing that you missed, that another iconic thing that I love, is when John goes to confront Han when he has his wife and he puts his gun down and then he starts laughing.
yeah.
Boom. Right. Shot him right there. Falls back out the window. And of course, that spawned the next decade to 15 years of bad guys falling from high places.
Well, I mean, it's such a good shot. And the CG doesn't hold up with some of the Skyline stuff, especially
this one holds up pretty well.
I don't think it does.
It's okay.
You could tell it's like clearly he wasn't falling.
And then,
from
of course, too, it was shown to us in the movies that made us that they surprised him with that. They said on the count of three and they dropped him on two.
That's a great shot.
It is.
But I also wonder the physics of that. So if you were Hans Gruber, who was getting ready to shoot John or the wife, he's raising the gun, which I don't know why it took him so long to raise the gun.
Yeah.
You could still shoot while you're falling, right? Like, why didn't he
Hear
shoot
me
a
out.
Bullet?
You know who I would shoot? Myself. I would rather die by shooting myself in the head.
I don't know if my brain would work that fast. I think I would still want to kill John McClane. I think I would
you
still
know,
fire
that's
a
your
couple
issue.
Times, right?
You're stupid. That's what your issue is.
Yeah, but I'm dead either way.
I know, but
you
I would
died and
die.
Didn't kill John McClane.
I
died
die
to kill
of a quick death to the blow to the brain.
Yeah, but at least I shot John McClane, and maybe I killed his wife too. Maybe
can
I
you
went
imagine
out on top.
How bad it would feel to splatter on the ground?
Instant death.
No, I don't. Is it even instant death?
Yeah, it's fucking.
What
sure
if you
is.
Land weird and you just break you your ankles?
From, no, if you fall from the 30th floor, 32nd floor, wherever they were, that's instant death.
Guys, tweet us right now. How do you want to die?
Gunshot or falling?
No. Anything you want.
Yeah. Tell us how you're gonna die, please.
I hope that's not a hostage. So once again, I really dig this movie. I think
it's
awesome.
A great movie.
It's a trendsetter. It's genre defining, and also it's a lot different than a lot of the other action movies from the 80s. Because also
from the 80s, especially, yeah.
By this point in the 80s, it was kind of on its downswing. You just got Aliens. Aliens was great too. But you've gotten so many of it that you really ran the chance of it being watered down. And
well,
it was
I think
not.
The magic of it, and it, I guess we can credit McTiernan for this, is Predator changed the game too. Mm-hmm. Because it was an action movie, but ultimately it was like a one-on-one fight. And this movie is much of the same. There's a lot of action around it, but ultimately it's Hans versus John. And so maybe McTiernan, you know, was onto something there. He obviously didn't have a great career after that, but he
I
did
just
change the
this.
Game.
Is Han... Is that German for John? Are they both John?
Yeah, but Hans speaks with an English accent the whole movie.
That's because Alan Rickman's
so
better at that.
Where did he get the name anyways, Hans Gruber? That's a question.
that's a question. All right, so I have it at 39 hot dogs. Mac has it at 37. Was that it? 37? 37. Let's get into Max Sack. And Max Sack could be anything. It could be Mark Turner telling us he wants to die like Blue from Old School.
Yeah, that's a great way to go on. I'll take that.
I've always said this a million times.
KY wrestling?
You know, this is very inappropriate, but I would like to drown in vagina.
Wap.
That's how you drown, my man. That's
yeah,
how you go.
There it is. You need a snorkel for that shit.
Or you play pool basketball in a lightning storm.
Yeah.
You die mid slam dunk.
As you're finishing the dunk, you get electrocuted.
Yeah. That's where it's at, man. All right, Max. So last week we did a draft of adult animated shows, which, by the way, I think that's what HBO Max's thing is they have a ton of adult animated shows. Like they have almost all of them.
Hmm, I like
so
that.
that's a good angle for them. So what we did last week, we had up who made the best 3-hour block of programming. Max shows were Big Mouth, American Dad, South Park, Bob's Burgers, Futurama, and The Boondocks. Goose was King of the Hill, Family Guy, Space Goes Coast to Coast, Rick and Morty, Daria, Mike Tyson Mysteries, and The Critic. And Billy D, he was the guest. He had The Simpsons, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Beavis and Butthead, Venture Brothers, is that what it's called? The Adventure Brothers?
The Venture Bros.
There we go. Birdman, Harley Quinn, and Archer. And by a very slim margin, Mac, out of nowhere, beat me.
Thank you. Thank
41%
you.
For Mac, 39% for Goo. Billy D asked a bunch of his friends to help him out and somehow got to 20%.
A win from the 2 spot is rare. I'll take a win from the 2 spot. That's tough to do.
I said during the draft, though, that getting South Park with the 2nd pick, that does help.
I had South Park 1 and Rick and Morty 2 and Family Guy 3. So you got 2 of the top 3 sitting at 3 and 4, at least on my list. So you did well as well. I think Billy and you both had The Simpsons ranked number 1. But I don't think most people feel that strongly about The Simpsons.
I think people that listen to our show don't, but real people do.
No, I don't agree.
I don't agree with you. So let's see here. At Shime Time said, Goo had such a strong start, but I went with Mac, way more consistent. And then to be honest, Billy's number one pick screwed him. And then at Rye the Girl said, ultimately voted for Goo. I would watch more of his 3-hour block. Mac had some of my favorites, but I honestly don't know what the Boondocks are. And American Dad, she does not like. And she
David,
said,
talk to your wife.
She said, Billy had some good picks, but I'm not going to sit through that for 3 hours. Billy replied, that's how most of my dates go. Jason D. Rossi also said he loved the picks of Daria and The Critic. And
of course
he,
Rossi did.
Hey, man, of course he did. And then Family Guy is the funniest cartoon of all time, so he picked me. And at Zig2K said, I concur.
That was your death wish right there, Rossi but picking that, you.
Hey, man, me and Rossi, we both love Diddy Kong Racing. We both take a lot of flack from the shared Gooniverse. You know, people are just taking shots at us constantly.
I love, 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 love. PCP was talking about, like, who might be the most sensitive. And they're like, maybe Mac and Goo. Like, that, maybe. And then the first thing out of your mouth on the news dump was like, PCP called me sensitive.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact. I don't care about anything. We did miss Home Movies, which is a pretty good Cartoon Network show.
Yeah. That
At least
was
it's like
show,
an honorable mention.
That was a show I have definitely seen before. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell you a single thing about it.
At John F. Duggan said, Goo won this with his first two picks. And the rest of his picks are deeply distressing. To which I would say, that's how you draft. Early on, take the people's favorites and then
go. Yeah, but you never win, so you should tell people how to
draft.
Heavy
niche.
You never won.
The niche. You gotta get weird. I won, though. I'm pretty sure I won.
I think I got ahead of it early by putting you down for Rick and Morty. Maybe changed people's minds.
Also, if Mac can talk for 1 second, we do have a review here.
Well, let's get to some of the comments, some of the listener comments on the side. I can't pull them up here. Fry Guy, Nick Fryer of PCP, of Change My Mind, said, Die Hard, best Christmas classic ever. Go fuck yourself, Fry
so
Guy.
So I do think that you can make the argument that this is as much of a Christmas movie as Home Alone is.
Okay, I'd be fine with calling neither a Christmas movie then.
They're movies that are set during Christmas time.
Sure, but I think that Home Alone's plot is more dependent on Christmas than Die Hard's is.
But if it wasn't for the Christmas party, where would they meet? People don't do things besides Christmas parties.
At any other party.
Party?
Ackernecht said McClane is in pain all movie because he's been crawling around with his car keys in his pocket.
that's a good point. Back in the 80s, you had to carry about 40 keys with you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Technology sucked. Kevin Howlett. All right. Yeah, we agree. 37.
Billy 37 D,
minimum
37.
Billy so maybe higher.
Yeah.
Christopher Bernard said, love the terrorist who had feet smaller than John's sister, even though that guy must have been twice his size.
All right, guys, this comes in from ETag89, hilarious and entertaining, 5 stars. I came across Mac and Goo a couple years ago when Goo was a guest star on #Dork talking
Goo
about the
SA.
Halloween
Goo
franchise.
SA.
I'll tell you this right now, go back and listen to that episode because that was a good one. Or listen to the Mac and Goo episode because I say the same thing in both episodes.
Also, 1998, Return of Michael Myers. That movie came up.
What?
1988.
You said 1998. It's like, wait,
did
what?
I? Yes. Well, 1998 might have been the Paul Rudd one.
H2O came out in 1998, 20 years later. The first thing about in 78, then 98. Math. That's what I just did right there.
Nice. Some
the one with Paul S. Rudd, Paul Steven Rudd, of course, that one came out in 95.
So if 4 was 88, 5 must have been right after it.
It was 88, 89, 95.
Okay.
And then it took a couple more years off to 98. That's because Scream was very popular.
We've had 3 years off. It's time for another Halloween movie.
No, it's so the franchise was dead, but Scream made so much money, they said, let's make this a sexy teen slasher.
Yep, and it sort of worked.
Josh Hartnett's in it, so it's
I
very,
like
very
sexy. H2O more than the last Halloween movie that just came out.
No, not for me. All right, he stole that episode, so I decided to check out Mac and Goo, and I've listened to pretty much every single episode since. They're both super likable, down-to-earth guys, and very funny. Don't agree with any of that.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me.
An awesome show. So thank you.
I concur.
If you made it to this point in the podcast, please send us a GIF of how you want to die. Or something from the movie. It's up to you.
Real dark week over here at Mac and Goo.
Hey, Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. That's Mac Shift 7 Goo. It includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. I didn't know you were going to go that long on the harmony. I would have held it a little more. The most important
I'm
going to
go up here. You can go down here.
My name is Derek, and I can sing high like this.
You're so flat right now. Come on. You look ugly when you're singing, too.
The most important platform is iTunes. Get on iTunes. Subscribe to us. Rate us. Review us. 5 stars. If you do that, we're going to get you a free T-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's Watertown Sportswear on 34 Mud Auburn Street in Watertown. The phone number is
617-924-1840. The fax number is 617-923-3083.
Watertown Sportswear, expert screen printing and embroidery.
TPublic.com. Guys, you need to buy the Davey Video Game Minute shirts now because Nintendo's out to get us.
They're out for our heads. You know, the funny part about it is they obviously have just a bot looking for these things. Because if
those
they had
shirts
just,
have been up for 2 years.
Right. But if they had just clicked on our profile, they would have seen all the other Nintendo ripoffs, and they didn't do that.
And in the title for all of them, it says Zelda, Mario, Metroid, Mega Man. Yeah. Like, they're right there in the title. And I'm like, oh, shit, if that's the case, they're going to pull the other four down, and they didn't. I don't know.
Right.
Although I think they pulled down 2 years ago the Dorky Kong,
right.
Which was, of course, it was Davey as Jumpman. It was Wes Burho as Donkey Kong, and it was Keefe as Daisy. I want to say her name is.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back with Dump this week. I think Mac is not golfing, so he'll be fine to go.
You never know when I'm going to golf.
Unless, hold up. Do you plan on opting out of the rest of the season, perchance?
I'll tell you what. I don't want to shit on Tuukka Rask, because if he's got serious issues.
We're
going to
do 1 minute of sports here, by the way.
One, two, three, sports.
Mac and Goo.
Hockey stuff.
Mac and Goo.
Mortar kicks.
Mac and Goo.
Steroids.
Mac Goo.
Sports.
To do it when he did it, that's a bad look, man. That's a bad look.
What he should have done is he should have gone to the bubble, maybe played one game, and after that one game said, you know what?
He's
I'm
like,
not
for me.
This.
Like, okay, I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But to do it after a game in a series in which you make a dumb comment and then get criticized for, I think is a terrible
That would
look.
Make me think that, so Marchand was asked about the comment right after the game. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, I think you're talking about something he said a couple days ago. And I think that he might have heard that comment, and him and some other players went up to Tuukka and said, if you feel this way, if you're not 100% in, we don't want you here.
Yeah, I think that could be part of it because those guys are literally separating themselves from their families for 2 months to try to win the Stanley Cup. And if Tuukka doesn't feel that strong about it, they're like, dude, get the fuck out of here. What are we doing this for if you don't care?
So now off of this, I think that – so there was already rumors that Tuukka was going to retire after next year anyways when his contract was up.
They really weren't, but you can say they were.
No, you can look it up. It's fine. Tuukka talked about it. I actually wouldn't be surprised if he just retired now. At the age of 32.
I could see him sitting out like a season and letting this all blow over, but he's still got so much hockey left in him. And moreover, like, he didn't even play that much early in his career. So he only has, what, 9 years, 8 years of hockey on his legs?
Hear me out. I don't think he cares that much anymore.
All right. He could Barry Sanders it.
I think that he sat out the 4 months that all the players were supposed to, and he's like, you know what? Maybe I don't need hockey.
Maybe that was it. Maybe that was it. I'll tell you, I sat out those 4 months without sports. I don't think I really need sports.
When I was in high school, I sat on the bench for 4 years of hockey, and once high school was over, I'm like, now that no colleges want me, I don't need hockey anymore.
Yeah, I haven't played hockey in a couple of years, and I don't miss it.
Well, I wanted to play some men's league, but all my stuff smells too bad, and then I smell for 3 days
well,
after.
Well, and like men's league, you're playing at like 10, 11 at night at some random rink 40 minutes away. And I'm like,
it's already past my bedtime
doing?
Right now, man.
And moreover, you're playing with a bunch of dudes who it's like they're one night a week away from the kids. So they drink 15 beers afterwards, and you're like, dude, I'm just trying to leave.
You're seeing everyone's dick and stuff?
Yeah, that's a lot of cocks. I'll tell you, I've played a lot of sports. By far, the sport where I've seen the most cocks is hockey. A lot of hockey cocks.
That's what everyone calls it, cocky.
Fucking nailed that.
Tuesdays are goose days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.